We're closing in on preseason game two for the Commanders, but who actually plays is going to be another conversation. Nick Ashew on the Team 980. I'm at Nick Ashew on all the socials if you want to jump on and get involved there too, because I'm ready to panic. I'm be honest with you. I'm going to be totally honest with you here. I might need Anthony to talk me off this panicky feeling that usually Chris Russell would have, right? Waving his hands in the air. Oh, my God, the sky is falling. I won't do that. But this injury list is getting long. Man, it's getting long. And given what we had last year for this team, anytime you see anybody get hurt, especially for this team when it's someone that plays a key role, like, it just hits different. And if you look now where the Commanders are, Marcus Mariota, Jeremy McNichols, Jerome Ford, I mean, John Bates, Laremy Tunsil, Nick Allegretti again, Tim Settle's already been there, now Johnny Newton with the torn pec, Adafe Owe. I didn't even list all the names. Trey Amos has been on that list forever. I understand that injuries happen in football. I understand that injuries happen in camp, and sometimes they are injuries that you're going to be a little bit more cautious with because the team doesn't want it to linger. And we also know that this team is cautious with injuries on a regular basis. That's how they approach things, right? Like, they're like, we're going to take our time. We're going to make sure that you're feeling 100%. We don't want this thing to linger. And, you know, a lot of soft tissue injuries can be that, right? Where it doesn't seem that bad, or it's a calf, it's a hamstring, but it just lingers and it keeps going. You know, calf injuries can turn into torn Achilles and stuff like that. Like, so there's a lot there. And I get all that. But we won't have Trey Amos in the second preseason game. Nick Allegretti has barely been in camp, and he's not going to be out there either. Johnny Newton undergoes pec surgery. He's going to miss a ton of time. And these are just the new ones. But here's something that's actually pretty crazy. That whole list I gave you, okay? So I looked up the injuries around the NFL. Because, right, like, if we're going to say, hey, injuries happen to everybody, I want to actually really see where the Commanders sit. Now, this is before the Johnny Newton injury. So as of 2 days ago, because you got to compile all this around the league, and it's, you know, it's not necessarily an instant. But I have a full list of RotoWire actually is great at this, right? So they got a whole list of every team, the injuries they have, and they like score it and rank it and all this stuff. We all love numbers. We all love data. It's going to give us an exact information. As of 2 days ago, even with the injuries that the Commanders have been dealing with, they actually rank 28th out of 32 teams in terms of injury bugs, injury problems, most injured team. So there's only, before this, four teams that had fewer injuries overall than the Commanders. And I know it doesn't seem that way, right? Because we're like, God, Marcus Mariota, Laremy Tunsil, Nick Allegretti, Trey Amos. So we're naming key pieces. But in terms of where you actually are around the NFL, it's so much worse for so many other teams. Now, don't get me wrong. There's key pieces here, key players, and that can have more of an effect. But if you're talking like across the board, and let's also be honest too, we have some scars from last season. You see an injury with this team, and it's like, oh my God, here we go again. I can't. No more. But it should surprise nobody right now that the 49ers right now in camp are the most injured team in the NFL. They got seven guys on injured reserve. They've got three guys on the active PUP list. And they got 16 different players listed as questionable right now, leading into their second preseason game. The Cardinals are the second most injured team in the NFL. Six guys on IR. The Giants also have six guys on IR. The Dolphins four, Browns five. Falcons have five guys on IR. Are we allowed to say the number five, by the way, Anthony? Or is that allowed now, or are we not?
Are you adding to the trolling?
Yes, I am, my friend.
That's crazy.
But, like, this list, like, because you sent me this list this morning, or, you know, a little while, not this morning, but a little while ago, and I was just like, dude. Like, because, you know, you see it, but once it's actually, like, listed out for you and put in perspective in the moment after the Johnny Newton injury and all that, you're just like, oh, God. But, man, every year the 49ers deal with this same thing. And think about this. They had a ton of injuries last year, and they still won 12 games. So that shows the depth they had. They've been building that roster. Now, the key here is that the Commanders actually did go out and address some needs and added depth and added some youth. And a lot of these are, you know, again, the Laremy Tunsil injury is different. The Newton injury is different. But for the most part, most of the injuries are, you know, questionable or, you know, a little bit more short term besides those couple that I listed. So some of this is just an example of, like, dude, it's perspective, right? The perspective and the – right? I mean, it's not even perspective. It's perception. The perception is that this team is always dealing with injuries. And we knew where it was last year. And it was bad last year. They were one of the most injured teams in the NFL last season. But they also weren't in a position to be next man up, right? They weren't in a position to really have that strategy, have that ability to say, yeah, we got other guys waiting in the wing. That's one of the reasons they went out and had the aggressive offseason that they did. And it wasn't like they spent a ton of money on two guys. Right, like that was the old way that this organization did stuff. Albert Haynesworth, and I'll go down the list, but I don't really want to because it makes me sad. So I'll just probably move on from that long list of guys that were wasted money. But, you know, the deals they signed for the most part were smaller deals. I mean, Adafe Owe, it's $100 million, but it's only 68 guaranteed. I know, only 68, but you know what I mean. I mean, Nick Cross and Leo Chanel, it was not... Like, those aren't monster deals they sign. Like, those guys are young enough and good enough where they can exceed what that contract value actually is, right? So they've gone out and added pieces where they need it, pushed some guys down the depth chart. We talk about this, right, with Stephon Diggs, and you add him at wide receiver, and it's like, oh, yeah, now you've shifted everybody down the depth chart one slot. You've created more depth at that position. You went out and addressed tight end. Now, really, I mean... The big concern here is what we got going on at center. And I know, and Doc and I have talked about this, and I told him, I said, Doc, I love your positivity, but this is a real thing. And it's now becoming a real thing with Nick Allegretti, because it's not, he's hurt, but he knows the offense and knows the position and has played it well and been there before and has chemistry with Jaden Daniels. I get that he's already been on the roster. I get that he's played some center. I get that he's an offensive lineman and a professional and all this stuff. The reality here is Nick Allegretti has barely been a part of camp. He's dealing with a lingering injury that then set him back out after we thought he was going to be back in camp. And this is a really important position on an already depleted offensive line, because the left side of the offensive line is already in question. And now we're talking center, which is the connection of the offensive line and the quarterback. That matters. Like, they've got to get this down, and Jaden's going to be under center a lot more. There's going to be a lot of moving parts and nuance, and look, David Blau's going to be moving guys around, getting creative with this offense. There's all kinds of stuff that everybody just has to learn this and be a part of it, and it's having guys in camp that have the consistency and the chemistry and all the things that you're asking for, and they don't have it right now. And for an offense that's new, and for an offense that has a bunch of new parts, this is where they were last year. Now, the difference was it was Terry McLaurin that was out, which was a massive loss, and then he was not physically ready to play at the beginning of the season. He kept getting hurt, and then Jaden got hurt and all that. But remember, this time last year in training camp, you had a whole bunch of injuries on the offensive line, and they were still kind of shuffling things. Like, they came into this camp at least having more of an idea of what the offensive line was going to look like. Yeah, left guard was kind of up in the air, but that was really it. You kind of felt good about the right side. The center was the big question, right? Heading into this year, it was really center, and then for the most part, it was like they kind of figured out what they want this offense to look like, or offensive line to look like at the end of last season heading into this training camp. But you know, this time last year, they had moving parts all over the place. Guys were injured in the offensive line, and guys were in and out of camp. And yeah, like, I get it. I've just showed you. A bunch of teams are dealing with something similar. But I don't care about those other teams. I don't care about the Giants. I don't care if they're all hurt. Good. I don't give a damn. I care about this team. And I care about the fact that we're starting to see things pile up. But it's also, it's not just, hey, fill in the blank player, a little banged up in camp, going to sit out for a few days, sit out a week, not playing the preseason game. It's the lingering and recurring injuries. And it's the names that you see over and over again, a Trey Amos, a Nick Allegretti. That's where you start to get a little bit worried. That's where it starts to become something that's consistent. And that's really where you start to really get into your head and think about last year and say, oh yeah, this is kind of what we dealt with last season. I'm worried about it. Like, I really am. I think this is something that's now becoming a problem. Because in the end, like, yeah, it's there are other teams that are also dealing with injury, sure. But the Dolphins are the fourth most injured team right now in training camp. Who cares? They're tanking. The Browns are tied for the fifth most injured team in the NFL right now. Who cares? They're the Browns, right? But there are teams that are a little more prepared for this. Like, the one thing is the 49ers are one of the most injured teams every year, and we could talk about the power station or whatever we want to do. Anthony, do you believe in the power station conspiracy theory or no? Are you in or out on that? Because I'm in on it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll put a tinfoil hat on and tell you. I think I believe that right now. Because the 49ers are always at the top of this most injured team list every year.
Yeah, I think I have to, like, start to believe in it just because year in and year out, these guys are the most injured team in the NFL.
I mean, it's like every season. Aren't they talking about moving that power station? Isn't that a thing?
I hope so.
I've heard that. I've definitely heard that. I don't know how serious it is, but I've heard that that's a thing. But the difference is the 49ers still win in spite of all the injuries. And they won 12 games last year. They have depth, but this is also a team that's been building under Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch for years. I mean, the first 3 years under those guys, they were a terrible team. They had horrible quarterback play. It was just they were rebuilding from scratch. So if you deal with injuries then, I mean, it just goes from bad rebuilding team to bad injured rebuilding team. There was no difference. But now you notice it. You see it. You're like, oh, yeah, well, the 49ers are a team that does clearly have a lot of talent. They're well coached. They're considered a contender every single year, and they overcome a lot of these injuries. I mean, they are the most, by far, injured team in the NFL right now. Like, it's not even close. Like, without explaining the whole thing, the whole score that you have on this list, it's like they're coming in with an injury score of 60. The next closest is the Cardinals at 46, and then the Giants at 40, and the Dolphins at 36. Like, so basically, even though that number means nothing to you, there's a big gap between the 49ers, the injury scores that have been put together, depending on the severity that are there, and then everybody else. So, yeah, it happens around the NFL. But, Anthony, I'm worried, man. I'm starting to feel like this has whispers of last season all over again. And on top of that, you know, you've got your backup quarterback where there's a starting quarterback that also had a lot of injuries last year. It's just we're getting to the point where this is Michael Scott threat level midnight for me now. And if you get the reference, good for you. If you don't, you don't. But this is becoming that point now, Anthony, where I'm like, this is starting to really have some lingering issues. Guys aren't recovering where they should be.
Yeah, definitely a reason to, you know, pause for concerns because it has been the last two seasons. But I don't know, man. We can preach, you know, next man up. But at the same token, like, we go out and spend this money on some of these free agents and trade for guys and draft guys. And we want them to be able to go out there and play for us. So, yes, next man up. But at the same token, like, we need to be able to maximize on who we go out and get.
See, that's my thing. Like, we can use the whole next man up phrase as much as we want, but in reality, I mean, it only matters so much. It only works so much. If you start going down and continuing losing guys, and next man up becomes, well, next man up, and then next man up, and there's a certain point where you're running out of dudes that can actually really play for you. And that was their problem last year. I mean, yeah, the well ran dry a little bit sooner last year because they didn't have a lot of depth. They didn't have a lot of talent. They got exposed. I mean, this team was absolutely exposed because they got a little arrogant. They thought they'd arrive too soon after a 12-win season. And even though it wasn't the same roster in 2025 that it was in 2024, you still had a roster that you thought was going to be at least, like, I don't know, contending for the division maybe? And they didn't come close. And they didn't have the depth. And they didn't spend the money. And they still went out and got a lot of guys on prove-it deals, one-year deals. And they've changed that now. I mean, they went out and spent a little bit more, but committed to longer-term contracts for guys that you think are going to be a part of this whole entire process. And yeah, I mean, if Adafe Owe with a calf misses a week, okay, fine. But if it starts to linger for him, again, like, there's a bunch of calf injuries on this team. Allegretti, I mean, Tim Settle's obviously been coming back from that already. Adafe Owe is another one. And calves can lead to other injuries. I mean, it can be worse. And, you know, listen, I'm not as concerned, and no offense to Jerome Ford, but they got a lot of running backs. He's on IR with a hamstring injury. I mean, okay, he would add value to this team if they didn't have all these other backs that we've seen right now. So you're a little less worried about, you know, something like that. But we start talking about a Trey Amos, who's just had injuries, really, it's a short amount of time, but he's dealt with injuries his entire short period of time that he's been in the NFL. And it's not, for players like that, it's not just about, and I'd put Allegretti in this category too, right? It's not just about those players missing time and you need them on the field because of their talent, their contribution, whatever. They're also learning, right? Like, they're, it's either Allegretti learning to play a new position full-time in a new offense with a quarterback that's going to be under center more than he's ever been in his career, or somebody like Trey Amos, who's just getting to the point where he's got barely any NFL experience. And that hurts development. That hurts growth. It's like J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. He missed out, even if he wasn't going to start his rookie year, and they were going to have Sam Darnold in Minnesota start his rookie year, which would have been smart. That's a benefit to a rookie quarterback, sitting out but learning, and you're in practice, and it's not about rehab and nursing an injury and getting better and then just maybe watching film and not being able to physically do anything. And that hurt J.J. McCarthy last year. He also dealt with more injuries. And he's somebody that's a young quarterback that's missed out on just tons of valuable reps. You can be as great of a college player as anybody ever is, but how many great college football players have we seen never make it in the NFL? And there's a million different reasons, but it happens all the time. And I know they've added some veterans at corner, but Trey Amos now missing more time, and this continuing to set him back means he's going to have to ramp up, and it's going to, because he really hasn't been out there at all. And then, is he going to be ready for the start of the season? And if he is, I mean, what does his role look like? How many snaps is he getting? Are they slowly working him back? Are other teams going to sit there and target him, right? Like, he's going to be a target. I think that's one of the big things to be concerned about. And look, like, a team like the Cardinals, they're rebuilding. So the injuries are, they're already going to be trash anyway this year. I think we know that, right? Giants are injured. This is a rebuild year. Dolphins, Browns. I mean, some of these teams at the top of the injury list here right now in the NFL are going through rebuilds. The expectations are different on this Commanders team. Like, they got to get it right this year. This is year three under really the whole new regime, top to bottom. Quarterback, I know new coaching staff to a point, but still same head coach, front office, ownership, all those things. You've got a really good year and you've got a really bad year. You got to show which one's the fluke, and you want to show everybody that the fluke was 2025, not 2024. But right now, this organization has a reputation that still is a stench that's lingering on the walls, that they need to get it out still in Ashburn, where everybody still goes, you smell that? I smell Dan Snyder. I smell him somewhere. He's still here. Like, there's a lot of that. And I get it. It felt like that last year, right? It's like the ghost of Dan Snyder ownership is still creeping through the walls of Ashburn. And you're just like, this, we can't have this again. It was haunting. It haunts all of us. And, you know, that's a problem that this team is. And I get it. Like, you go, you block out the noise. And okay, maybe. You can try. But your reputation as an organization matters, because that's how you get talent there. Whether it's people in the front office, on the coaching staff, players in free agency, whatever that is. Like, you can have all the cool report card grades you want. It's cool, guys. You got A pluses in places. You got to start winning football games. And they start dealing with a lot of injuries. Could be testing this team's depth very early, which adds to a learning curve, especially when nobody plays in the preseason anymore. Which means the next big question is, should Jaden Daniels play at all against Detroit this weekend? Nick Ashew, Team 980.